Blog Talk Radio.
Not just for the young. I love saying that. New Beginnings is not just for the young. My goodness, if we keep saying that, we'll start feeling it. Amen? We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to We Are New Beginnings Ministries. And we're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock and until sometimes 8 o'clock, 8:30. But anyhow, we are here. We are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that we are open and we are interactive. We have callers that call in. We have those who are listening by internet. And for those who are calling in, they participate from wherever they are, whatever city or state they are in. For those by internet, they have an opportunity of dialing in on the chat line, and we will read your message, and we will share it with the other brothers and sisters. And, you know, we just more so just feed on what God is saying to the body of Christ. Amen. So, again, we do thank you for tuning in. We're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, we are going to go into our scriptures. We're going to have dialogue, and as we have dialogue, keep in mind that the dialogue is always open. It's just not a one-sided conversation. It's a two-sided conversation, three-sided conversation, sometimes four up to eight, ten. Amen? So we all chime in, and we share what God has done with us, the knowledge that God has embedded in us, and we just take it and we just chew it up and we just pray that we will just gain more food, more energy, so that we can continue to run this race that God has set forth for us. Again, we're going to have prayer. And what tonight is going to be a little different, I am going to go through through Romans, and I'm going to start off in Romans 3 and try to move up through 8, going with a variety of different scriptures. I might as well let you know that this is coming from my professor who had shared it with us, and I said to myself, you know what, I need to pass this on to the other brothers and sisters of Christ. So as I'm moving on through these scriptures, amen, so please make sure that if there's something that grabs, that touches your heart, you know, just stop, hey, you know, and just jump in so that we can all learn together. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for life. We thank you for life more abundantly. Lord, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. What would we do without you? We thank you, Father, for every day that you wake us up to a brand new beginning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for our families. We thank you for our churches. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the brothers and sisters that you put in front of us on a daily basis. We pray, Lord, that we would continue to walk by faith and not by sight. We know that there's challenges that we're going to go through in this life, but we know, Father, that we have a help that's greater than any help that we can ever, ever have, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Just calling out the name of Jesus Christ seems to change our situation. So we pray that we would embed that name in our hearts and our minds, and, Lord, that we would speak life, not death, into those situations. Lord, we ask that you be with the sick and afflicted. Be with those, Father, who have cancer. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for those who have financial difficulties. We pray for the homes who are challenged by kids. We pray, Heavenly Father, for marriages. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, for the churches. Lord, that everything would be on one accord. Lord, we come against anything that stands before that. Lord, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that no weapons that are formed against us shall prosper. And we'll be sure to give you all the honor and the praise in the majestic name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. We have our mics open this evening, and I hope that I'm clear enough. Sometimes we do have some technical difficulties, and I sometimes get texts saying that you cannot hear me, and then sometimes I get texts saying that it's too loud. So I'm praying that it's just right. Amen? I am praying that it is just right tonight. Lord, that God is going to just be a blessing this evening. We're coming from Romans, and we're going to move all the way up into Romans 3, up to Romans 8. Amen? So we hope that you have your Bible ready as we go through this. I would also like to inform you that your mics are on. So I'm hearing some movement in the background, and I need to try to correct that. I'm hearing movement in the background. Please be noted that when your when you you're tuned into us, we can hear everything. Everything is amplified. So please, be cognizant of that. So obviously, whoever that is operating in the background, and they don't really own it, but we can hear everything that's going on. Amen. I am going to start cutting some mics down, and prayerfully, I will be able to grab the right person. Okay. If you are off, if your mic is off, if you can hear me now, please push one when you are ready to share a word from the Lord. Amen. So I've just cut a couple of mics with those mics, the numbers that I'm looking at. We're coming with Romans 3. We're going to start off with Romans 3. And it says that a central portion of the book of Romans addresses the question, how does God make us an unrighteous person? How does God make us an unrighteous person or a righteous person? Amen. So as we go this, we're going to utilize insights, you know, from the study of Romans 3:21 through 31 to answer those questions, as well as define what the biblical terms are theoretically. Amen. Theoretically, so the first one we talk about and we look at is righteous and justified. The second is redemption. And the third is propitiation. Righteous, justified, redemption, and propitiation. Amen. So as we look at that, in righteous and justified, justification is a legal term, and it is the same Greek root used as righteous or righteousness. For this reason, justification and righteousness have the same general meaning. By means of definition, what I'm saying is justification is regarded as a judicial or a legal act of God by which he entirely pardons the sin of those who place personal faith in the sacrifice of Christ. And therefore, both accepts and treats them as righteous. God literally declares them to be justified. What do we mean by justified? Justified means not guilty. So if you're in a court of law and you are being judged, the term means that when the judge gives a sentence for you, he is going to say not guilty. So as we peruse or we go through this, we're going to be looking at justified being not guilty. Now, the legal action is understood to be necessary due to the fact that scriptures teach that the wages of sin is death. And we'll find that, you'll find that in Romans 6:23, meaning the wages of sin is death. That means that there's an eternal separation from God. Only a legal pardon by the highest judge in the universe, and who is that? That's God himself, would therefore allow a sinner like you and me to escape a sentence of eternal death. Amen? Can you think about that? Think about that and place that in your own words. God will allow a sinner like you and me to escape, amen, to escape that sentence of eternal death. When I think about that, I mean, that just sends chills down my spine when I think about eternal death, amen, and I don't think anyone wants to fall in that category of eternal death. I'm trying to open up all these mics. I'm hoping the person that is madam who was still rattling. Okay, that's not going to work. Who was still rattling. I was trying to open up all the mics so that when you had a comment, that you would be able to, you would just be able to speak. Amen. Now, we go into righteous and justified. Romans 3:21. The same condition, what am I doing? And I, you know what, I apologize for, I apologize for the distraction in the background. Normally we have our mics closed. Normally our mics are closed. But tonight, for some reason, someone, we can hear things in the background. And oftentimes that person in the background doesn't even know, they don't even know that all the noise is being transmitted through these mics. Amen? So I'll cut off two mics so far, now I'm going to three. And I apologize to have to take time to do that. That's the only way that I can figure out who or what mic it is. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Okay. And we move on. The sole condition of which this righteousness is credited to the believer is through their personal faith that God would accept the death of the sinless Lord Jesus Christ as a substitution for their sentence of spiritual death, meaning that God accepted his son. He accepted his son to make a substitution for you and for me. He was supposed to send our death. But Jesus Christ said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me be a substitute. Let me be a substitute. And during that time, we'll go on, where at one time, during that time, it was considered a goat that was sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a goat that was sacrificed. But we're going to go on from there because I really don't want to get off subject. The death of Christ is thus credited by God as a payment in full. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, our payment for sin, our payment for eternal death was paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me go on and break that even further. That's you being in a court of law. And the judge is about ready to give you a sentence of death. And his son walks through the door. No, let me take it even further. The sum is death, or it can be paid off in full, knowing that you or I don't have what it takes to pay that debt all out in full. The son walks to the door and says, I will pay their debt.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay it. And he takes out money from his pocket and pays that debt in full.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the same situation. Well, Christ saw us. He saw you. He saw me about ready to be sentenced to eternal death. And Jesus Christ stepped in and said, let me be. Let me just pay the price for them. Let me pay the price for them. It goes on, in the essence, therefore, justification is God crediting to the repentant believer that not only the forgiveness of sin, but also the perfect righteousness of his chosen representative, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
His chosen representative of Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at redemption and propitiation, and we look at that, if you look at that in the Word, you can look in Romans 3:24 and find that. Now, the word redemption literally means set free by paying a price. Redemption means set free by paying a price. And what was that price required to redeem our poor souls according to Romans 3:23-25? How is this fulfillment of Genesis when you look back in Genesis 2:17 and 3:15? How is that fulfillment of Genesis when that occurred? Now, propitiation, or some translation, suggests a sacrifice of atonement. And as we talk about a sacrifice of atonement, 325 is utilized to show the price of redemption. And the price of redemption for you and for me. A sacrifice of atonement. In 325, or some translations, they record it as propitiation. Now, the original of this concept can be traced if you look back at Exodus 25, 10 through 21, where the term is considered a mercy seat. Or in some translations, it's considered an atonement cover. It's utilized in verse 17. Now, this passage is talking about the ark itself. Its construction, its principle, its content, including the testimony. And if you look in verse 16, you can find that, which was the original copy of the Ten Commandments. The testimony was kept in the ark. And it was covered by a lid, which was turned. That was called the atonement cover. The Hebrew name for the atonement cover in Exodus is the Greek equivalent of propitiation, which can also be translated into what's called the cover guilt. The cover guilt. The cover guilt. And that was in the ark. Now, when we look at, again, propitiation, that was, if you look in Leviticus, if you want to look and study the ark, if you look in Leviticus 16, you know, that will give you information in terms of the ark. And conducting the service of the atonement of the sin, in that particular service, what happened was a priest would select two goats. One which was sacrificed on behalf of the sin of the people. And that's located in Leviticus 16:15. The ark was to present containing previously noted, as I said, the Ten Commandments, which stood in judgment of the people. And that judgment was in Deuteronomy 27:26. Also in Romans 7:7-12. After the goat was sacrificed, the priest would literally sprinkle its blood directly on the atonement, on that atonement cover, as I would say, providing a clear picture that a blood sacrifice had literally covered over the demand of the fulfillment of the law, and also the penalty of judgment and death due to all who had transgressed under the covenant. And under that, meaning that it had been satisfied. So when that priest went through sprinkling that blood and all of that at that time, that means that everything, the fulfillment has been satisfied. That was the time of the atonement or the atonement cover. Now, we're going to, you know, and I'm going to stop right here. Are there any comments? Any comments? Any comments? You know, let me open up some more mics. I really don't know which one it was. I know I had my lights off, and I can't have that one off. Amen. Any comments? Any comments? The mics are open. Any comments? Amen. Let's move on over to Romans 6. Romans 6. When we look at Romans 6, 1 and 2, and in 6, Romans 6, 15, he states that the earnest Christian by no means habitually pursue sin. Paul is saying that the earnest Christian doesn't sin intentionally. He's saying that the earnest Christian does not sin intentionally. Now, Paul particularly defines three foundational principles in Romans 6:1 through 19 to help the believers in their earnest pursuit of righteousness. Number one was Romans 6:6-8. Know intellectually that sin has been rendered powerless. When examining this principle, we can assert intellectually that this is true. We know that sin has been rendered powerless under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So in 6:6, brought nothing. We brought nothing. We were rendered powerless. But in 6:8, it talks about how we live with him. And we live by means of him. Meaning that our life on this earth is not of our own. We live in Jesus Christ. We live in Christ. We live with him. Everything that we do on this earth, on this side, we do through him. And so when Paul is saying, know intellectually that sin has been rendered powerless. Now, you think of, look at that four, when it talks about in terms of when we sin, we didn't do it intentionally. That was just sin within us. That was that human nature that we would sin.
That's right.
And what it's saying here is that when we choose to live with Christ and we live by means of him, that we're not going to sin. We're not going to sin. When Christ is with us, when we have Christ with us, when we carry Christ with us. Now, if you look at it in terms of that atonement, the sacrificial, that the sacrifice was made for us, we live by that. We were saved. A penalty was paid for you, and a penalty was paid for me, for that death on the cross. And so, therefore, we live by means of him. We live with him.
Excuse me, Elder.
Go ahead, my brother.
It's kind of hard to understand you at certain points, but are you saying sin was rendered powerless and it's due to the Christ's sacrifice or us following Christ?
Was because
the
of his sacrifice. His sacrifice.
Amen. The sacrifice on the cross for you. Let me get back to you. You said it's hard to hear me sometimes. Am I talking too loud?
It's like you, I guess, maybe you turn your head away from the mic up muffled.
Okay, thank you so much for that, my brother. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. What it's saying here is that the sacrifice on the cross for you and for me gave us that gave us an opportunity so that we did not have to be powerless to sin through Christ within us.
That's right.
That death on the cross saved us from that eternal judgment, meaning that we can live in Christ. And when we live in Christ, that's what those scriptures mean. I can do all things through Christ. If God is for me, who can be against me? So those are scriptures to remind us that the Holy Spirit within us, we have a choice. We have a choice in life. We can choose to sin or we can choose not to. But when we keep our mind renewed on Christ, when we keep our mind focused on Christ, when we carry the word of Christ with us, meaning that sin is powerless because of that.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
It's death.
Oh,
okay. So we as believers know the death is what death as the unbelievers will encounter is going to be different than death for us. We have life in Christ. So when we pass from this earthly life, we're going to go to what we aspire to anyway, because we're heavenly beings, we're spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm.
We will be with Christ. Jesus paid that price for us, like my husband was saying, that it was a price that we couldn't pay. We couldn't afford to pay it. Even if we had the money, the chances, or had the payment for it, the chances were, just like with the priest, they had to continuously come back every single year, mm-hmm. and sacrifice an animal. The Hebrews, you know, the Jews were still every year bringing their sacrifices to the altar, confessing their sins, and continuously doing that, because there had to be, the penalty had to be paid, and the penalty was death. It was paid through with the blood. So Jesus Christ was the last sacrifice. He was the last lamb, the sacrificial lamb to be slain. So he says, rather than, and this was from the beginning, from the very beginning, from when they came together, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit came together and said, let there be life. This was part of the plan that would come and take on humanity on top of his deity, on top of being God and who he was, on top of being Jesus Christ. He would take on humanity, and he would be the last sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
He would be the last sacrifice. So we I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll let you finish it now. See, I didn't know you were finished.
Okay, so he does. So we don't have to come before priests. We can go to Jesus on our own. We can go talk to him ourselves. We can confess our sins. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. He hears us. We don't have to have a priest be the intercessor for us. We can intercede on own behalf and take care of one another. But Jesus Christ was the last sacrifice. And we are in him. If we live in him, if we have confessed Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we are living a life and trying to do and living a life that is acceptable and being a representative of the kingdom and speaking the word and doing the things Christ, living the life that Christ has sacrificed for us, then he's saying that you will have life beyond this earthly being, that you will have that, because he was the last sacrifice. We don't have to go through that anymore.
Okay.
Do that anymore.
Okay. Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he exchanged, when he died, he exchanged his righteousness for our sins, and by his blood cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And so
Amen. That's
why when we yield to the Holy Spirit, only when we yield to the Holy Spirit can we do what's right. But when
Amen.
We let the sin nature just go forth without submitting to the Spirit, then we on our own. That's when we sin.
Yes.
So it's the blood. It's all about the cross and his death on the cross that cleanses
Absolutely.
From all unrighteousness. And then he left the Holy Spirit. And when he left the Holy Spirit, he lives inside of us, but he doesn't make us do this or make us do that. We submit to the Holy Spirit. Then he can guide and direct our path and help us not to go into the wrong path of sin.
Amen.
As long as we on our own, in our sin nature, then we on our own. We're not submitting to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm glad you brought up about the blood. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my grandchildren the other day because we were talking about one of my granddaughter's class. They were talking about the blood of Jesus, and so I was telling them about the songs and singing, you know, like the power. There's power in the blood, and there's nothing like the blood of Jesus. And I remember going to church with my grandfather, and there was not a Sunday that we went to church with him, because my grandfather was holiness, And so they sung about the blood all the time. And you don't hear that, you know, very much anymore. But the blood of Jesus, there is power in the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's because he sacrificed his blood that we don't have to sprinkle blood all over everywhere. We don't have to sacrifice, do the sacrifices like that, because he was the last lamb. He was the last lamb. And it's the blood of Jesus. So when I plead the blood of Jesus over my household, over my health, and I speak about the blood and the power of the blood, when we sing about it, when we talk about it, when we understand the power that's in the blood of, that's in the blood of Jesus, and truly, truly, truly understand the power that's in his name alone, that's when we're empowered. We're supposed to be operating, and as Jesus and Holy Spirit have as the Holy Spirit directs us, and as Jesus has left us to do the things that he did in his name and go forth knowing that we have it in his name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, excited.
Mm-hmm. Remember, if you look at and if you write the scripture down, and in a Romans, if you look at Romans 1, it's Romans, I'm sorry, 6, 1 through 26. And to read that, that would explain a little bit more about what is stated here.
And can I say also, because Jesus was our sacrifice for us, when we became saved, this is why the brother was saying that sin doesn't have basically any more dominion. We don't intentionally go out to sin, not a saved individual, because Jesus has already paid that price. You know, when we were in our natural nature, doing everything that our flesh wanted to do, we sometimes purposely sinned. But now that the Holy Spirit and that Jesus was the atonement, there's that conviction that will deter us from any sin, if you understand what I'm saying.
Amen. Yes. Amen. See, and
we don't just out and out.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I'm done.
Okay.
But you need to remember what my sister said too before, is that you have to purpose to and submit to the Holy Spirit. Because you can say, but if you're not submitting
Amen.
To the Holy Spirit, you're still doing the sinful things, or still open to it, or still influenced by that, what does that mean? The obedience and the relinquishing your will to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And I think she made a very good point.
Amen. Amen. She did.
Another thing that I hear people say, that once saved is always saved. And I have relatives that feel as though, because someone told him that once you accept Christ, then you're always saved. So he feels as though, as long, even if he sinned, Christ died for his sin. See, he's sinning intentionally. But you have to question, are you really saved if you're not obedient to the word of God? If you're going to do what you want to do and feel as though you're going to get to heaven because you said that you believe in Christ, but it says believe in your heart, then believe in your heart that Christ died on the cross, that God raised him from the dead. What I'm trying to say, some people speak it but don't believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord of their life. They don't submit their lives to the Lord. They don't. They're not obedient to the Lord. So when you don't do those things in which Christ asks you to do according to his word, then you need to ask the Lord to reveal to you those things that do not please him. Mm-hmm. And he will reveal it to you. Because you can't walk around here thinking you're going, there's the devil applying you with everything he can to keep you from going to heaven.
Amen.
And that once saved, always saved, only if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord of your life.
Amen.
But if you want to do anything that you want to do, you got to question yourself and get on your knees and rededicate your life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just to add on to that, you know, in Romans, it's talking about that we the believers, are dead to sin but alive to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We're dead. We see, at one time, we were slaves of the law. We were slaves to the law. But what Paul was saying is through that death, through that death of Jesus Christ, that
mm-hmm.
now we are slaves under grace.
Mm-hmm.
Under grace. So, just like our sister just said,
we have to be careful to take things out of context, too. Can you hear me?
I'm hearing a lot of reflection in the background, moving in the background, which is being picked up through these mics.
I don't know if you can hear me, but just like our sister was just saying about one faith always saves. Context. I don't know if anybody can hear me or not.
Yes, we can.
When you take the scripture out of context, that's where people get misled. Because you have to think about the books and the verses that come before, like the statement that you just read. John. That the idea of once saved, always saved, talking about grace, people use grace as a rescue. And you can't take or attempt to please God. You can't say, well, the grace of God will cover me so I can do whatever I want to do.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
I can just do whatever I want to do because He's a loving God and there's what about grace? Well, I just go on and do such and such, but what about grace? Okay, yes, there's grace, but there's also consequences for the choices that we make. For every action is a reaction.
In the spiritual, natural, and supernatural.
For every action, there is a reaction. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that we are to have, there is grace, there is grace, there is mercy.
Amen.
But the other piece of it, that grace and mercy, when we talk about it, when we're talking about it in Romans, comes after the Holy Spirit has been introduced, after Acts, where the Holy Spirit has been introduced. So if the church is operating the way the church is supposed to be operating, if we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, if we're taking care of each other and we're living a life the way that Christ has designed us to live, to live our life, we still have that grace and mercy, but to go out and live like a heathen and
that's
say,
right.
I know God. No, you don't know God.
Because it also
tells us about being hot and cold. You can't have sweet water and salty water flowing from the same fountain.
Amen.
You can't have that. And it's unfair. Maybe it's the word I want to say. It's not fair for us as believers, as mature believers, to teach babes such things as once saved, always saved, or you're going to be okay because there's grace. Because they'll continue with that foolishness, thinking that that is the way of God, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be taught the words.
Amen.
Taught to do things right and in order, because it's just not fair.
Because people like that, they're purposely going out, and then they're falling back on that grace. You know, they're using it as a an escape. Oh, I have grace, so I'll do this. God has grace, but they forget God can be a terror. He was a terror back in the Old Testament.
Like I said,
he snuffed them out. And people take for granted the grace that they have.
Exactly.
They take for granted.
And there's always a consequence. I mean, there's consequences. I was going to say something else it'll come to me.
Amen. Give it back to the Holy Ghost.
It'll come to me. Keep going.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And I want to say that I did need a couple of mics. If you are talking and you cannot be heard, I'm trying to find out where the distraction or the noise is coming from, so please be mindful that I am not cutting you off. I'm just trying to eliminate the distractions, and it appears like I have eliminated distractions.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm hearing you, then I'm thinking it's coming from your phone. So
right.
Number one, if you want to talk, hit number one, and we'll open up the mics for you. Amen?
Amen.
Every morning, principle two, as I said before, principle two, 6 through 12, consider yourself personally dead to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 6, 11 through 12, consider yourself personally dead to sin. When examining the people, any true believer should.
Brother, could you read that verse? Could you read
the
those
verse?
Two verses?
Mm-hmm. You want to read it?
Is that verse 11? Is that right?
What do you have? Romans 6, 11 through 12, and it talks about consider yourself personally dead to sin.
Mm-hmm. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus
Amen.
Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So I just want to read that so we can elaborate.
Amen. Amen. And all through Romans, while we're going through Romans and going through that, speaking in terms of how we are supposed to operate.
Mm-hmm.
We're not perfect, but God has given us the opportunity. He has given us the instrument. He has given us the vehicle to do right, to make right decisions, to make right choices. He's given us that opportunity. We have choices. We do have choices. So moving on, it says, consider yourself, that scripture says, consider yourself personally dead to sin. So when you examine this principle, any believer, any true believer would believe that this is true for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a true believer of Jesus Christ, if you believe, if you know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt who Jesus Christ is, then you would consider, you would say, this is true for me. I am dead to sin because of the Holy Spirit within me, because of the sacrifice that was made for me. I am dead to sin. I don't have to sin. In 6:11, consider yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to take that into account. We have to take that into account. And in 6:12, it says we're not to let sin reign.
Mm-hmm.
We're not to let sin loose and let it reign in our lives. And what it's saying is that we are to exercise kingly power.
Mm-hmm.
We're to exercise that. If we exercise kingly power, Jesus Christ died for us. We've heard the testimony that all that God has done for us. If we truly, truly believe who Jesus Christ is, then we are supposed to exercise that. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God has given us the authority to be able to speak to those things and call those things that are as though they are not. Because of the Holy Spirit within us, we can speak with authority through Jesus Christ to call it for what it is. Because it's almost like when you begin, when you change your life, when you come from that old self into that new self of Christ, the old self is always trying to creep in. It's always trying to creep in. Come on, you want to take one more drink. Come on, let's go back and do what you used to do. You had fun then. One more time. That old self is always trying to creep in. But that new
spirit in you, that new creation, the God in you, that new person is going to be fighting against that old self.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it's exercise kingly power. We don't have to go back doing what we used to do. We don't have to fall back into our sinful nature that we used to fall into. God has given us the right, he has given us the authority to be able to move forward in Christ. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We're going to fall short. God knows our heart. He knows all.
That's what
I'm saying. God knows it all.
Can I read a version, please?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to start with Romans. Oh, you said Romans 6?
Yes, Romans 6. What was that? Let me talk about the one before it. Romans 6, 11 and 12?
You said 6, 11?
11 through 12. It's Romans 6, 11 through 12.
Okay, I'm sorry. I went on to Romans 8, life through the Spirit, what he promises us.
I'm trying to move there. I'm trying to get there. Romans 6, 13 and 19, it states through the Scriptures that we are supposed to present ourselves, present yourself practically to God as an instrument of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
When examining this principle, we can be assured that we are supposed to practice truth in daily life, practice the Word of God in daily life, practice Christian living in daily life, practice living a godly life in daily life.
We're supposed to take on righteousness and holiness by putting away the things of the world, taking on the things of God.
Amen. Amen. Here, when it says we're to practice this truth in the daily life, it's talking about an instrument. In 13, it talks about an instrument. And in the Greek terms, the instrument is used to describe the weapons of a soldier. Weapons such as a knife can be used to heal for a surgeon, or it is used to kill in battle. Paul is talking about the intentional placing of one's life in the hands of God that he made that he might use us for righteous deeds. So when Paul is speaking through that, he's speaking about that we are to intentionally place our life in the hands of God so that he might use us for righteous deeds. When we move on to Romans 7, the honest Christian life is characterized by a personal struggle as well as our triumph. This section is supposed to examine the struggles that we go through, that we are experiencing as we are growing Christians. Now, in Romans 7 through 24, it speaks along, it's a means for a certain triumph, which is detailed, or it's talked even more about in Romans 8. So Romans 7, as we go through 7, it's talking about the personal struggles of the Christian. When you look at Romans 7, what is the struggle that Christians go through? There is an upward struggle and there is a downward struggle. The upward pull is toward all that is good. Let me say that again, and you can look at that in Romans 7:22. The upward pull is toward all that is good, the law of God. So we're constantly pulling on the law of God, trying to do what's right, trying to do what's good. And in 7:21, it talks about that struggle that we go through. And it says, when I want to do right, we want to do right, we have to be reminded that evil is always present. When we want to do right, there's going to be that other side that wants to pull us to do wrong. In 7:22, it says that I delight in the law of God. Being the perfect sin will take delight in the law of God. Now, the downfall.
Yeah, but, okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was thinking about what it says. And then it says, in the law of God, after the inward man. Because if you go back to 7, and like you said, there is a conflict. But like when you go back to 7 and 1, it talks about the law. And it talks about, you know, where we are as
mm-hmm.
far as flesh and spirit.
Amen. And, that's a downward pull. That fleshly is a downward pull.
Mm-hmm.
That fleshly, those fleshly designs
mm-hmm.
are the downward. And it talks about that. If you look at 7:23, it talks about that.
Mm-hmm. And that's why 22 is saying, after the inward man.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because the law, that those Ten Commandments, the law just dealt with, you know, thou shalt not do this and do that and all that other stuff. But when Jesus came, that inward man came alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us away from that law of the Ten Commandments, if you're getting what I'm saying. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two laws. One is the law of God, and the other one is the law or the principles of sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And 22 is the law of God, and 23 it talks about the law of sin.
Mm-hmm.
That principle of when I want to do right, evil is always present.
It's present.
When I want to
mm-hmm.
do right, it's always quiet, it's always trying to pull me back to do what I used to do before I came to Christ.
And what is the evil that's always present? It's not just Satan, it's just our flesh. Because there's no good thing that dwells in our flesh.
The desires of the world, right, right. The
mm-hmm.
desires of the world, desires
right.
of the flesh. Desires
mm-hmm.
of the world.
That's
desires,
what's always present.
Anything that is not of God,
mm-hmm.
anything that is not of God or pulling us backwards is the
right.
law of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Brother John.
Yes,
you,
sir.
That's an everyday battle, though. You know,
yes.
And
yes, it is.
It's a little, you know, that battle there, it gets a little tedious. So it gets a little rough sometimes. You
uh-huh.
know, I mean, maybe for me, it gets a little rough.
And I just try to say, yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir. And you know what? It's not just you.
It's not just
it's
you.
All of us. It's all of us.
But I mean, it seems
to all of us.
But it seems like it from the way you guys sound, it seems like it's second nature to you guys. And it's like, okay, well, it's real, real easy. And I mean, I'm not where you guys are, but I'm almost there. I'm with you 100%. But
you know what? I love your spirit. You are so humble.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I love to hear you speak. I love your honesty.
Amen.
I love humbleness. I think I've never met you before, but just hearing you on the radio, the Lord is going to use you. I'm sure he's using you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he has in store for you. I know it's going to be great because you have such an open, pliable spirit,
mm-hmm.
and you're so you're so honest, and I truly appreciate that. For me, let me speak for myself. If you
Amen.
Think that I have arrived, please let me correct you because I haven't. Every
Amen.
Single day I start
yes,
over.
Yes, yes.
Every single day before my feet even hit the floor, I have to ask the Lord to help me during the day because you just don't know. The temptations are there. I'm better than I was a long time ago, but I'm still not where I should be. I'm nowhere near where I should be. I'm nowhere near. We study, and that's why we hope to become who God wants us to be. But there's no way that I have arrived. No way.
Listen, now, that makes me, I'm not the odd one out now.
No, not at all. And we might even be in it a little longer than you. I don't know how long you've been on this road. But like the sister said, we are all striving. We are all, you know, go through the testing, the trials, and the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. And you know, my brother, as I'm going through this, and that's why one of the reasons that I went through, I was talking about Rome in Romans, Romans, because Paul is talking about the struggles of the Christians then.
Amen.
He's writing to the Christians, trying to encourage them and remind them of who they are in Christ because of their struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not just here. It happens even in the days of Paul. And more of that, Paul was in jail trying to encourage the churches to keep hope. If that makes any sense. I'm starting to hear background.
Yeah.
Noises. I thought I could close that out. I think I know where it's coming from. Okay, I know where it's coming from now.
Amen.
It's a 2-1-2 season. Okay, but again, my brother, you know, that's what Paul is writing to now. He's saying, if you look in Romans 7:23, when you get an opportunity, and that talks about the lost sin.
Mm-hmm.
And in Romans 7:21, it says that evil lies close at hand. And this
mm-hmm.
is what everybody's thinking about. See, we're the only one who has really arrived is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's the only
Amen.
One who's arrived. We're trying to be more like that. And Paul is
mm-hmm.
saying that we are to live in righteousness. He's trying to remind us that to keep evil hope alive.
Amen.
If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Because right now, this is the struggle. This is the struggle for the church. It's the struggle for the Christian in general. So it's not just you, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I do enjoy when you come on and you make the comments because you keep it real. Because you know what? There's others out there that are saying the same thing. Well, they're talking like they've got it all together. And it allows you to allow us to be able to say, no, we don't.
Amen.
What we're here trying to do is get it together,
mm-hmm.
to bring it together, to keep it together.
That's it.
We might come on one time. You know what? We might come on one time, my brother, and you know what? Everything is out of it, down the pool. It just got us down. And all of a sudden, somebody might say something to kind of lift us up.
Amen.
Okay.
That's what it's about, encouraging one another. That's what
we're all in this.
We encourage one another. A good word, a smile, a word saying I love you,
mm-hmm.
reminding everyone of who we are in Christ.
Okay.
So that's basically what this is. And the title of Romans here in 7, it's called The Struggle.
Mm-hmm.
The Struggle. Why is it a struggle? Because that's a common struggle that all Christians go through. And what Paul is doing here is he's trying to bring it home so that we understand what that pool is. There are two different pools. One, we have the pool where it says the law of God, and the other one is the law of sin. For the good that I do, evil is always present. No matter how good I am, we're always going to be confronted with confusion. We're always going to be confronted with something that's trying to pull us away from what we're trying to do for God.
Mm-hmm. And that. Mm-hmm.
I have a comment.
Did he come? Go ahead.
Yes. What you're saying too, that is so true. Evil is always present. That's why I believe you should always have a strong prayer life, a very strong prayer life, because the enemy is always trying to get at you. But if you have a real strong, strong prayer life, you know, it would help you through your struggles.
Mm-hmm.
It would help
Amen.
You when the enemy comes. So it's very important to get into a prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, studying your word, you know, meditating on God's word. The Bible
mm-hmm.
says Joshua 1:8, we must meditate day and night on
mm-hmm.
that word.
Amen.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
Amen.
Can we?
So,
mm-hmm.
Any more comments?
No, I was just getting ready to talk about verse 24, where it says, "O wretched man that I am, who
mm-hmm.
shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I
mm-hmm.
thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So like the sister was, like the pastor was saying, when we get into that prayer life, when we read our word, our minds, let this mind be in us that is in Christ Jesus. It shall revive us, refresh us, help us to go again, to move forward. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. We move on into Romans 8.
Amen.
Romans 7 talks about the struggle. Romans 8 talks about the triumph.
Mm-hmm.
The triumph. And it says, grace on our journey in 8:1. Even in the midst of our struggle, there is no condemnation. We're not condemned.
Mm-hmm.
The price was
mm-hmm.
paid.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are truly in Jesus Christ, how can a just freely forgive individuals such as those described in Romans 7 who frequently struggle with sin? What great biblical doctrine is this promise of forgiveness based on? What can you recall from the previous study of Romans when we talked about Romans 31, of Romans 3, 21 through 31, that might provide a key insight on humanity, the plague that humanity went through, the struggle against sin? There we can find redemption and forgiveness through the grace of God. Upon what great truth is this doctrine? The doctrine is based on justification by faith. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Justification by faith. What is that? That means that when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, we were justified.
Mm-hmm.
We were justified. Justification. We were justified. And now we are justified by the faith of his death and his resurrection. We are justified. So when God looks at us, he's not looking at that priest. He's looking at the Spirit of Christ within us. We have been justified. The penalty has been paid. So when we are facing sin, when we are going through our struggles, when we are going through whatever that we are going through, we can know that we can triumph through Christ. In Romans 8, 1 through 4, there's a power match to our struggle. And 2 through 4, through Christ, he lives giving, his life-giving spirit I receive to overcome evil. And as Paul says, my sinful nature in itself was lacking in power required to fulfill the laws of God. But God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has not only forgiven my sins, he's not only forgiven my sinful failings, but also enabled me to fulfill his laws, which I intentionally direct my behavior to be under the control of his Spirit, under the control of the Holy Spirit that's within us. So when we are going through our struggles, when we are trying to fight a battle, whatever we're going through, the Holy Spirit within us can help us get through that. As was spoken before, stay in prayer. As was spoken before, stay in the Word. As was spoken before, God says, remember me.
Mm.
Do you remember me? When you're going through that struggle, do you remember that I died on the cross for you, so
wow.
that you would have condemnation? Do you remember that as you are going through that situation of cancer, that I died on the cross so that you would be forgiven, so that you would be healed?
Mm-hmm.
Have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten what I did on the cross? Have you forgotten that I died, I gave up my life so that you might have life? Have you forgotten?
That's
and God
good.
Is saying, remember me. Don't forget about that cross. Don't forget about that death or that death on the cross. Don't forget about that. Don't forget that as you live habitually, that it depends on your behavior and your conduct according to one another. Have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten all that I gave up on the cross? My hands was nailed to the cross. My feet was nailed to the cross. And I gave up the Holy Ghost to you. I gave up the Holy Ghost because you were condemned. You owed a debt. And I didn't feel that you should pay that debt. So I came down, all the way down, in the human nature, just so that you might have a second chance. So when you are going through that struggle in Romans 17, please be reminded that there is triumph. There is grace on the cross. There is victory on the cross. Your victory has already been won. So don't look at that struggle. Don't look at that situation. Don't look at that cancer. Don't look at whatever situation you're going through. If you want to look at anything, look back on the cross
mm-hmm.
for everything to praise for. Look back on the cross where you began to start to live in Christ. Remember me. Any comments? Any comments?
No, I like what you just said, though.
You know, that was I heard that, and I just thought that I had to pass it on. I thought it was some good stuff, and I had to pass it on. And not only do I get fed by it, but you know what? What we gain, we're supposed to pass on to each other.
Amen.
And I can pray that whatever was said tonight, whatever was attempted to say tonight in the spirit, that it was received. No matter what we go through, no matter what struggle we have, Paul is writing in the letter that we are overcomers. That death on the cross entitled us to live, not die.
Amen.
Comments.
I think this was a good topic, subject, especially as we're approaching the resurrection day. This was very
Amen.
Good for us. This was very good.
Amen.
I enjoyed
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Very good.
Hallelujah. Every time
I
you eat the bread.
Mm-hmm. This was a good message, too. I agree with that elder that this is a very, very good message because it's a reminder to the ones that are going through. Because sometimes, you know, when we're going through so much, our mind goes into the flesh instead of our mind should be going into the spirit, which is life.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
When we're going through the sickness, we see it in the natural. I'm sick. And then our mindset deals with the flesh and say, okay, it's death upon us. Or even when you
mm-hmm.
go through your struggles, you're saying that, you know, it's a dead end. But when you start
mm-hmm.
thinking
mm-hmm.
in the mind of the spirit, and you can look at your situation and speak life, I will live, I shall
mm-hmm.
live, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it through the struggle. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. I am victorious. So I appreciate this message, too, to encourage everyone that are going through to begin to think of the mind of the spirit, and that is life.
Amen.
And more abundantly.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, there's life in your situation, but think of the mind of the spirit, not of the mind of the flesh, because the flesh will trick you. Your flesh will begin to trick you and trick your mind and say, okay, I'm going to die. But know that Jesus won the battle for us.
Amen.
We have victory.
Yeah.
We won.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
And we have to realize that we have won. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. The price has already been paid.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to look behind us. We don't have to look behind us. Keep our eyes focused on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Justification by faith.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Any more comments? Any more comments?
Amen.
Well, I guess I'm assuming. My brother, did you want to make a comment?
No, I'm full.
I am
full. I enjoyed it. It's a good message.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I definitely received it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And I want to, again, I want to compliment you. You just come on and just again, I go back and reiterate your earnestness, you know, your zeal for Christ. I mean, it's felt through the phones, microphones, or whatever. It's felt, your zeal. And you know what? The questions that you have are questions that others toil with also.
Mm-hmm.
We all toil with it in one way or another. We all sin and fall short for the glory of God. We all make mistakes. But the thing about it is, can we rebound?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we fall down, can we get back up? Knowing that fall is not going to keep us down. Can we do that? Seems like every time I turn this mic on, it keeps getting backgrounds, and I know what it is now, where it's coming from.
Okay.
Again, my brother, did you want to make a comment? You know, the mic's on you.
Oh no, I'm good. Like I said, Elder, I'm full, and I thank you guys very much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am going to ask my brother, is it too much? And I'm just thinking in the spirit. I am going to ask you if you would close us out in prayer.
Amen.
I'm hearing a bell. Someone's in their car, and I'm hearing the call.
No, okay. Sorry.
Oh, amen.
Okay. Thank you. My brother, would you please pray us, you know, out of here? I'm just feeling led to ask you to pray. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Praise God.
Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening. I thank you this evening for letting me understand, giving me the strength, wisdom, and the knowledge to understand what I've heard. I thank you for giving me the strength that I pray for to continue to strive and get better.
Amen.
I thank you for all of the listeners, the sisters, the brothers. I thank you for allowing them to help me. And Father, I pray that I'm strong enough to continue. And Father, I ask that you just have the patience to bear with me. And the ones that are listening, Father, I just ask that you bless them continue to guide us, keep us safe. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just want to say amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you,
my brother.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you to every one of you for tuning in. Once again, we'll be back next week. We'll be back. Remember, we love you.
I face the dawn.